all members are present, thank you for being here. First action item we have on our agenda is approval of the minutes from the October 6th meeting. Do I have a motion?
So moved. Second.
A motion and second, motion from, we'll give it to Mr. Smith, second by Mr. Garch. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Item number two is a review of our planning commission recommendations from their October 20th commission meetings to October 21st, 2015 meeting. Ms. Farrell?
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first two items actually are part of the same piece of property. The first is annexation, the second is area-wide business zoning. This is related to something you'll see a couple of items later on your agenda. This is a quarter acre piece of property. We've mentioned this to you before when we've looked at the Bell Point project, that there has been a discrepancy in the acreage. So what this is doing is cleaning up that discrepancy. There's the strip of land that you see illustrated on the screen had not really been included in either of the annexation for approvals. And I have a pointer. This is already zoned area-wide business right here. This is the request you're going to see here in a few minutes. This had kind of been left out of either application. So the request is to annex the strip and zone it AB, which is the same as that parcel that's already in the town. And that has been recommended for approval.
Move for approval A and B.
We have a motion for approval of A and B by Mr. Carrier, second by Mr. Smith. Any more discussion or questions? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, item C is your request to annex two parcels on Old Rosebud Trail and then to zone them in Pepper Plantation.
Yes, so same as before, you have one item to annex and another to zone for Pepper Plantation plan development.
Move for approval.
Sorry. Is that item C and D?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and a motion for approval of item C and D. Any comments, questions, or discussion? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, item number three we had at our last meeting, that's what I was just discussing with legal and Ms. Farrell, is that we had already taken votes on annexation, comprehensive plan. We've actually taken votes on all these and made recommendations to council. The only thing that came back to council with a recommendation for reconsideration was the conceptual plan. So if it's really at the discretion of this committee, we make recommendations to council. If you'd like to vote again on the three things we've already voted for, we're welcome to, but certainly the only thing that's up for reconsideration is the conceptual plan. Is that good with everybody?
I don't think we need to annex it again.
I don't think we need to either.
And the votes were 4-4 to nothing anyway on those.
Well, now I will point out that your last vote in October on the comprehensive plan was a tie.
Yeah, the annexation was unanimous, comprehensive plan was 2-2, and the zoning was...
So your zoning, you recommended
was 3-1.
Approval? No, I have no record show approval. And then the impact assessment, you definitely recommended approval. You had concerns with the conceptual plan. So what has just a...
So we had concerns with the conceptual plan amendment. I'm sorry, the comprehensive plan amendment was a tie vote, and the conceptual plan was what's back to us for reconsideration.
Right, and then staff had some concerns with some discrepancies within the plan development. I know you all did recommend approval of that. It really been cleaning some things up and making sure that they were consistent with some of the verbiage that was on the conceptual plan. So that document has changed. Not the request itself did not change in terms of what they're asking for, but the document was cleaned up to better match what was on the conceptual plan. And then the conceptual plan, Mr. O'Neill, has changed.
Well, it sounds like this committee agrees we made our votes on the other items, so I think before us, let's just consider the conceptual plan for purposes of today. So any disagreement from the committee on that issue?
Other than the 2-2 vote, I'm a little concerned that we don't, if there's any change in that. Do you think we have a change in that? If so, maybe...
On the comp plan part?
No, on the, yes, on the comp plan, I'm sorry.
Not a good council like that.
Okay.
Well, we had a 2-2 vote here. It'll go to council in the same form. I mean, it did last time, too. We just always was to track together. So let's take the conceptual plan. So any comments, questions, motions, considerations? Ms. Farrell, do you like to explain what changed since our last meeting for the benefit of the committee? Probably be the best place to start.
Just to, as a reminder of what the request is, it is for a mixed-use plan development. The proposal is 99 units total, 93 of them are townhomes, six would be multifamily as part of a mixed-use structure, and they are showing 30,000 square feet worth of commercial space.
What was that number?
30,000. They have changed really the layout, as you can see up on the, shown up on the screen. We had had some discussion about open space last time, and so they have relocated the open space and enlarged it right to this location here. It's not showing too well, but this is a, is the colorful one over there? Okay, so there is the park space there, and then these are the different mixed-use areas, and then these would all be the townhomes here. So they did relocate the park space. It is larger than it was before. They do still have some open space around, like the perimeter here that you can see. They've tried to redesign the pond in such a manner that it's more aesthetic than previously shown. And one thing that staff had a great issue with was there were a lot of private streets shown, and we don't allow subdivision off of private streets, so they have addressed that. So the only private street that you see at all are actually these alley, this particular alley here. Everything else is a public street, so they have addressed all of that, those concerns, created some additional connections that we had been looking for, and pretty much everything that staff had suggested and recommended. We had a good meeting with them, and this was the follow-up, and so they've made all the modifications. So I think really it's back to you with the question of the development itself, the proposed plan development.
Ms. Farrell, what was the required percentage of open space for the PDMU?
5%.
5%?
Mm-hmm.
So this meets that 5%?
It exceeds it.
It exceeds it?
Yes.
And our other issues were the public street, which you had been resolved, and then the fire access?
No, it was more access for Mr. Peel, making sure that he could get the garbage trucks in and out. So they provided some turn radius information for us, and then they, as the project progresses, it will have to go through DRB. They will need to work with Mr. Peel a little bit further, and this is an issue that's not unique to this particular development. We often see this with townhomes. Where do they take their garbage, and, you know, having the trucks back on the alleys and some, so anyway, they've already got some dialogue going with him about how to best address the garbage pickup.
Other questions?
What's the front word in front of the word pond?
Formal.
Formal pond. Just, I couldn't tell what it was. Now we're in the formal pond now.
It replaces the business casual.
I know this pond has a lot to do with helping with the stormwater and whatnot for the development. I just look at the proximity of how close it is to Bellport Drive and the public going up down that sidewalk. How's that matter being addressed?
We haven't really seen it as an issue. It's,
And I'm not trying to make it one at all. I'm just, although I just guess I did by asking the bike.
No, we haven't really seen, it's not, I guess in it being a formal pond, it's not going to necessarily have the slopes and things like that. So there can be something that we can look at through DRB if you're concerned with safety of the pond. You can look at it through that.
The recreation complex and the skateboard park is right there. So. What's the small thing?
What's the, that, between the sidewalk and that pond, what, how much buffer is there?
I don't know the end, I don't know that there's that level of detail on the plans.
I don't know, I mean, the questions I had from last month have been answered.
And they've answered.
And this is, so every, Mr. Chairman, so every concern that staff had has been addressed, and there's no more concerns from staff.
There were a lot of, the inconsistencies in the document have all been cleaned up.
Yeah.
And then the question with the public streets has been addressed, and the open spaces, those were our, kind of our main concerns.
Move for approval for the impact statement and conceptual one.
Second.
We've got a motion for approval of the impact assessment and conceptual plan. Any more questions for the committee before I open this up for public comment?
You second first.
I said second. Second was Mr. Garvish. Anybody else from the committee questions? Okay. How many people would like to speak on this issue? Just show hands. Ms. Stokes Marshall, I saw your hand first. Give us your name and address for the records. 2 minutes of your time.
I'm Ms. Stokes Marshall, 4100 on Beckel Lane. I'd just like to ask Ms. Brown to give some comments in reference to that private street.
Yes, ma'am.
In regard to what is the ramification, you know, what does that mean?
It's an alley. That's what's shown right here. It's an alley. Our concern, Ms. Stokes Marshall, previously had been that we don't allow subdivision off of private streets, and the majority of the streets that they were showing within the development were private. And so we did meet with them and discuss that they needed to be public streets, they needed to be built to public street standards. The width needed to be a little bit wider in terms of the pavement. And so that has all been satisfied, but because of the way townhomes typically are designed, you often have a rear service alley, and that is really what that is that's shown there. So there's not any ramifications. The only thing that they will need to work out going forward as they move right through the design review process and even after is to be very clear with Mr. Peel as to where the garbage pickup will be. Mr. Peel typically doesn't like the service off of alleys. But we also know that people aren't going to drag their trash cans. We don't want them to because I don't think that would, it just doesn't look very nice. Plus, you have the on-street parking here. So that's the issue that they will need to satisfy with him.
Thank you. For the records, Mr. Yep. Chair, yes. I would just like to say that this, you know, previously in other meetings, I have made comments that I'm in opposition to this project because of my concerns for the traffic in this area, that this particular project will add to the existing traffic problems on Long Point Road or Foster Road. I mean, we have school, churches, recreation center. We have the Snowden community that has, as it stands right now, limited access getting out onto Long Point Road, and I do strongly believe that this will further exacerbate a problem for those residents in that community that already exists.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Sanders, did you have a comment?
I just had a question. Mixed-use areas.
It's okay.
90 based on the board. Mixed-use areas. Just for my information, do they fall under our new growth management plan? And if not, can we require it?
Yeah, this complies. One of the things that was approved by town council with a mixed-use plan development was that the density was decreased from 12 units per acre to 9 units per acre. So this application complies with that.
How about commercial on the bottom floor for the 60%?
They do have commercial on the bottom floor. I don't know that answer to that immediately, Mr. Santos. The 33% is what was required. We would have to check that out.
So you'll have that before it goes together?
Yes, sir. I will. I'll get that information.
Other comments or questions?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, Linda Page, 1458 Short Street. I just have a traffic question for Brad Morrison. Brad, can you tell me, this is a commercial piece of property that we're looking to rezone to mixed use, high density neighborhood. The impact of commercial would be greater than the impact of residential?
Generally speaking, that's the case. It has a higher generation rate.
Right. So they have to do mitigation, traffic mitigation?
Yes, ma'am. What you see here has some mitigation and some turn line extensions, approach lanes. It has a fair share allocation in the ramp project that the town is currently funding, at Long Point, the westbound on-ramp. All the designs for turn lanes, as far as what staff desired, have been addressed. If you recall, the first application was generally commercial, and I think it had a had a trip rate probably 3 or 4 times this. So to answer your original question.
Right, and that's what I was trying to recall. I couldn't remember, but I know when we looked at it originally, there was very heavy traffic. As Ms. Thomas and Stokes Marshall, who lives in that corridor, that the commercial impact on that side of the road would be at least twice as impactful as the residential. I'm trying to recall.
Yes, ma'am. And I can provide the comparison previously. I'll do that this time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Okay, we'll bring it back to the committee. Smith, you have another comment?
Please, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to hear from the developer or his or her representative to talk to us a little bit about the commercial space there, just kind of what they're envisioning there and thoughts on that. And I just want to clarify, Chris and while they're making their way up to answer my question, that's a Carter bus station there. I see there to the left of that next piece on the top.
Yes, sir.
I got some new glasses, and they're not quite focusing in on that.
It's a formal bus station.
It's a formal bus station?
Yeah.
And what's it say above that? It says Carter Bus Shelter. What's it say above that?
Raised crosswalk.
Thank you.
There's no right now.
Okay, who'd like to take Mr. Smith's comments and address them in 2 minutes?
Just conceptually, what you see there, what's going to happen in a commercial space, what you're targeting.
Also, if you could give your name and address to the clerk.
Yes, it's Ray Cooper, 109 River Lane, Daniel Island.
Just don't touch the screen.
I'll point.
Touch the screen or go to the next one.
Mixed-use buildings are here and here. On the first floor of both units, we intend to do retail. From our inquiries, there's a high demand for professional. So on the second floor is primarily going to be professional. And then we have a limited number of residential 6 units that we intend to put on the third floor. But it's designed to give you the feeling of the old village with the parking like this, and you have just a limited number of retail spaces. But we're trying to keep the number down on this, Ross.
In the front building?
In both, yes, sir.
Yeah, how about that one? This
building is oriented toward the commerce and what's going on along Long Point Road. This will be purely retail. It'll be a one-story building that may house one or two retail components, or maybe as many as five. Mm-hmm. But it's just a one-story, and the use is typical of what you would find along Long Point Road.
No residential above that building?
No. Okay. Correct.
Thank you. Okay, any other comments or questions? We have a motion and a second for approval of the conceptual plan. Anybody anything else to add?
Mr. Chairman, just Christiane, you said there are a total of 99 units, right?
Yes, sir.
What is the total allowable units in this? Are we at maximum? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, do you have another comment?
Yeah, just one clarification, Christiane. Mixed use. Now, is that actually the meets with the terms of mixed use with just having only retail in there? This building here.
We don't specify within the PD with the revisions that were just done that it has to have vertical. It encourages vertical. The new language in the PD, mixed use PD, encourages vertical, but it's not required. So it can be a horizontally mixed where you have a residential and a commercial side by side.
Okay, let's go ahead and call the question. All in favor of the motion?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No. So motion carries 3-1. All right, moving on. Item number 4 on our agenda is request to rezone from R1 low-density residential district and Sweetgrass Basket Overlay District to neighborhood commercial district, 23-acre parcel of land. Is this the same one we saw?
You did?
Council.
Yes, this was sent back to Planning Committee. You all looked at it last month, and you have tie votes, no recommendation on it. The council sent it back because of questions regarding Ike Road. To remind you what the request is specifically, the parcel is currently zoned R1 and is part of the Sweetgrass Overlay District. The request is to rezone to neighborhood commercial and to come out of the Sweetgrass Overlay District. There was a conceptual plan that had been submitted with the application. As you all know, you can't really condition the zoning approval, but that's, I think, where the questions regarding Ike Road were raised. We've got a couple of illustrations that hopefully will, I think Kelly is in here, that'll help you to understand exactly what Ike Road is. This is Ike Road that you see right here. It is the sole access to property belonging to Mr. Swinton, who is here in the audience with us today. If the plat is probably next to Kelly, maybe. Ike Road is actually on the back side of these lots in Chadbury Village. So it is not on the property in question, and as I noted, is the sole access to Mr. Swinton's property. We had suggested in the original staff comments that we didn't think that Ike Road should really be used for the commercial access if this property was rezoned, that instead it would be more appropriate that the access would be off of Six Mile Road or off of future Billy Swales Parkway if the rezoning was approved. We did review the deed for the property as well. I shared it with Mr. Pagliarini as well. It appears that the folks who have the use or the right to use Ike Road are Mr. Swinton, and then it's written to address. Before this was Chadbury Village, this property was owned by Mr. Ron Bowles, and it was written to benefit him, that property as well. So it's not very clear that it was necessarily intended to be used for this property, the one that Ms. Calhoun owns. That's the one in question with the rezoning. So I'd be glad to try to answer any additional questions that you have.
I just, for clarification, so the road runs through these people's backyard, technically, on the plot?
That's correct.
So how does Mr. Swinton get access in and out of the property? Through their backyard?
Just go back to the Google map, Kelly. There's a Google Street View, whatever. There, yes. So their yards are, their property actually really extends all the way out in this direction, but is fenced off and cut off at the edge of the easement there. So this is his access to the property. It is the easement. It is on what are technically Chadbury lots.
And the new property line begin somewhere to the left of that driveway?
The existing property line is generally right here.
Gotcha.
Right.
The easement itself is unclear. It seems to provide access to the properties to the right. We don't know whether it provides access to the property to the left. We don't think it does, but also this has been used for a period of time. There are a number of types of easements, and if you use it or it's out of necessity, but we're not in a position to say with any certainty that this property has a right to utilize that easement. That would be up to the landowner to prove that.
Does Mr. Swinton have a second access to his house?
No.
That's his only access, his Ike Road? Which is really indiscriminate to the fence line. They could move the fences at any time, and where would his access be?
Well, he still has the easement. He still holds that, okay. So they wouldn't be able to do that.
That's what's clear, is that property, Mr. Swinton's property, does have the easement access.
Does have the access.
So they could move the fence back, but he could drive through their backyards. Is that really what you're telling us? As crazy as that sounds.
Well, I opposed this project initially just because it was commercial, you know, basically residential area. And the first time we open it up for commercial, we're going to see an onslaught of commercial all up and down behind what this property, where this property is located.
Any other comments or questions from Ms. Farrell?
Are there any other curb cuts along Six Mile to access that property to the left other than what we see here pictured?
The one in question?
Yeah.
No, they'll either have to,
Did you say no? So there is none?
No, they'll either have to create one onto Six Mile Road or, if acceptable, have one off of future Billy Spells Parkway. And this would be really, I guess, determined once they get to the design review process. It would be subject to all of our curb cut separation requirements that we have. But it appears that it could be accomplished off of Six Mile Road. We don't have a plan that is to really review that.
Do we own the property where Billy Swales extension will happen?
I'm sorry?
Do we own property
this,
where the
this,
extension?
Yes, this is town right
okay.
here.
Okay, and the other side of that is?
This is part of what will be the Primus Track development.
Thank you.
Christina, what's on that piece now? The piece that most of us has to be rezoned? What units are on it?
There's two homes.
There are two homes. People living there now?
As far as I've been able to ever see, there's definitely, where our offices are right there, so I do see cars.
And the only way they're accessing that property is using the curb cut for Ike Road, right?
To get to the second house, that's what they do. It's questionable as to whether or not they are supposed to be able to do that. But if you look, it's not showing up that clearly. I guess it's because of the image, just the light in the room. But you can see that this driveway right here comes back into Ike Road. Now this one comes straight off of 6 Mile right there, but this one uses. Yeah, and I did meet with Mr. Sutton, and he and I talked about his concerns with it. Sometimes folks do park in Ike Road and block his access to his home, and so that was his main concern, especially if it was developed commercial. He was trying to ensure that it wouldn't or couldn't be developed as a commercial driveway and further block his.
I'm comfortable we've got that part clear now. I'm focusing on Mr. Swinton and the easement. He has that. It's there. Because at the council meeting, it looked like what I was looking at is that we're going right through the back of six people's houses at Chadwick, or Chadbury, excuse me. So I'm coming back to this piece now. Right now it's zoned residential. Someone buys that whole piece and wants to build a house there. I'm wondering how they're going to access it.
Off of 6 Mile?
Using the...
There's one right there.
Okay, so that does exist.
Right.
All right. So there's a dedicated curb cut to the property.
Oh, I misunderstood that earlier.
Yeah, I didn't much clearer.
I'm sorry.
Thought there was no other way to get there except for Ike Road.
No. The second house, they use this driveway. They go down Ike Road and then that driveway to get to that house. This one has access right off of 6 Mile.
Okay, very good.
Does the property... As it is right now, does it qualify for a flag lot?
A flag lot? Which one?
Well, where Mr. Swinton's house is back there, could that property hold two houses with access off 6 Mile and a flag and a driveway back to the back?
It would have to get approval from Planning Commission for an exception to the land development regulations.
We don't know if it's big enough right now.
Oh, it's plenty big. Talked a little bit further to Mr. Swinton about that. He does one day want to be able to subdivide for his children. And he could, I think my recollection is, was looking at the math of it, he could probably fit four lots on his piece of property. It's a fairly deep piece of property.
Mm-hmm. Go back to the road view that shows the entrance to the for the easement for Ike Road and then the curb cut for the piece of property we're talking about. All right, that's the entrance to the easement. Where's the curb cut? The same thing?
It's down here. It's
okay.
What, their other, they've got another
curb cut for the property.
I'm sorry.
That's what the
curb back here is. Hold on. Not it
would. All right, looks like everybody's access has been worked out. It just comes down to what I understand what Mr. Carrier's saying. It's the rezoning commercial, what that means. That's what my concern was at the council meeting, was eliminate access for anyone. We take care of that.
Okay, show of hands from people, the public, wish to speak on this issue. Three, okay. Made you go first last time, Mr. Marshall. Yeah, Mr. Schwinn, if you wouldn't mind going first. You give us your name and address in 2 minutes of your time.
I'm sorry, not at 2200, I drive, yeah, well, Mike's right, I've been there about 40 years, and it was all family there at one time. Now, this road wasn't an easement there to this road until about 25 years ago, when I got the easement, and it supposedly, I got the title to the road too. After all this come about, or before this come about, people would come to visit me. They don't know me, they don't know the people on the road, they just walk anywhere. And if I ask them to move, they got an attitude. And that's an ongoing thing. Now you turn around and make that commercial property, and they say it ain't gonna be no problem, it'll be people parking all up and down that road, couldn't get out. And being this is a planning committee, could I add something else to it?
Yes, sir.
While y'all, when the new highway go through, for the sake of my kid, you know, my grand, I would like to have an access to that 4-acre track. But even with the access, I don't wanna renege on the road and say, well, I just give up. I guess I'll have to talk to my lawyer how you look that thing up like a title. You know, be ready, because that's the way it's supposed to be. Really, it should've been a private drive.
Okay, thank you, sir. Mr. Santos, I'll let you.
I'll defer to Ms. Stokes Marshall now.
Am I gonna have to hold you to this?
I have a couple concerns.
Can you give us your name and address, right?
I'm Ms. Stokes Marshall, 41 Millennium Beth Lane. I certainly support and echo Mr. Swinton's comments. And at the same time, as I have expressed before, I have a concern and an opposition to removing the property from the Sweetgrass Overlay District because of the fact that it's within the Bella Geechee Heritage Corridor. Our comp plan talks about protecting and preserving existing characteristics of our communities. I don't see this working in that direction to protect and preserve the existing characteristics of Mr. Swinton's property and that community that he has been in for, as he stated, more than 40 years. This was there, the road, as before the Chadbury development was even brought in there, okay? So now we're putting him in a compromising position to impose upon the quality of his and his family's life by bringing in a business there that's going to further devalue the quality of their life in their community. So I just wanted to put that out there on the record that I am opposed to this for those reasons.
Thank you, Ms. Stokes Marshall.
Ms. Farrell.
Yes, sir.
Have you put any conditions on this property? From what I'm getting at, obviously, I don't see, if it was to move forward, I don't see where anyone that would be accessing that property would attempt to use this easement or park in this easement. If it was a business that was facing either 6 Mile or Villasville Parkway.
The conceptual plan that they submitted showed them using Ike Road, which is why staff had to comment that we didn't think Ike Road was appropriate, that we felt like it should be.
Well, I guess for me, I can't speak for them, they're not here, maybe whatever, but I don't, just like when we were here last month, I'm not comfortable voting on something until everything was ironed out. It doesn't sound like everybody understands what's at stake here. That the people that want to rezone the property think they can use this road and they can't. I mean, we have the same responsibility to them as we have to everyone else to make sure everybody knows the rules.
Well, we've maintained that position. It was in staff comments from the beginning that we didn't think that Ike Road was appropriate. We've obviously done some additional research and reviewed the deed to Ike Road since that time, and I think that just further confirms the original staff position that it should be through either 6 Mile or Billy Swales.
All right, gotcha.
Mr. Santos had a comment, and we'll bring it up some days.
69 Greystone Boulevard, I agree with Ms. Stokes Marshall, her comments, and Paul as well just now, but it seemed to be like at the council meeting, there was a question that came up about whether all of this property was in the county or the town. Did we ever iron that out? It's all in town.
Okay. Mr. Freeman has a comment, and we'll bring it back to committee. Yes.
I just have to say something. Roy Freeman, 4850 Bowman Road. I'm very disturbed about this issue, because it's come up, you keep talking about the Sweetgrass overlay district, the color issue. To me, all that's irrelevant. This is a plot of land in a residential area that's been residential before I was born. Nowhere do I know of anywhere where anybody votes to put commercial into a residential area. I've been thinking about this, and I said, if I came to you and I bought land at the corner of Fifth Street and McCants Drive, and said I wanted to put a laundromat there, there wouldn't be, I don't think there'd be any discussion whatsoever. It would just been disapproved. We went through 6 months of discussions, meetings, and came up with the management for this area based not just on things like what we're talking about, but also about traffic. That was one of the other things when we discussed this area, was because there was a lot of problems with traffic between 6 Mile Road and 41. And so the discussion was to make sure we came up with a good plan to keep down commercial and to declare a certain area as residential. And that's what came out of this out of that discussion. And everybody has been in favor of it ever since. That's why I am surprised that we keep discussing this and talking about a right-of-way or all of that. All of that is not necessary. This is a residential area. This would disturb a residential community. To me, it's a no-brainer. It should not even be discussed. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Lynette, did you get his address? Okay, good. All right, back to the committee. Comments, questions from Ms. Farrell? Mr. Smith, I know you have one.
Mr. Swinton, did you grant access on your easement for them to use your private road to access their property?
No, sir.
This just happened. They've been doing it all these years.
Like I say, for all of the years, it was mostly family living there. And if you notice the way it's structured now, you notice there's a driveway. The little driveway
it's pretty worn, I see that.
Well, there was a fence running all the way down there. That when the new people bought it, they took the fence down.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman and Christine, I'm not sure what we can do, but I certainly would be a huge advocate for protecting our landowner here so that he has full use of his property there without having others take advantage of that. And it's my understanding that there is a second curb cut for them to access their property, and they should be forced to use their own property. So it's my understanding he has the right to put that fence, the erect fence, or back up on his property if he wanted, as long as it complied. Is that correct?
I don't know that I'm comfortable answering that question, but it's his easement, and as far as we've been able to discern, the property in question with the rezoning does not have
access
to it.
Yeah, I would get my full support. Put the fence back up and put the barricades up there so you can't be taken advantage of, sir.
Any other comments from this committee? I see Ms. Stokes Marshall's hand up, and I don't want to keep bouncing this thing back.
I'm happy to make a motion right now, the recommendation for council.
Let's hear from Ms. Stokes Marshall real quick, and then we'll have your motion.
Well, I just want to put a question out there. That first, let me say, this is primarily a residential community. Has been for ages. Why would we want to put a business in a residential community? And I have to agree with Mr. Freeman, you know. If this was in another area of town, talking about the old village or whatever, if it's residential and you're going to talk about coming in and putting a business there, there'd be opposition all over the place. What is so different about this one? Okay? And I asked the committee to take into consideration the fact that the months and months of meetings that residents town council member from the town of Mount Pleasant, from Charleston County Council, had and met to create the overlay district is just being negated if we continue to remove property from the overlay district. That was put in place to protect these communities. And you're saying they're not, if you vote for this, you're saying that it's not worthy of being protected. And I don't think that that's correct.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Lynette. You got Ms. Dix Marshall's address. Thank you. And make sure we stay compliant. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I've had all my questions answered in the clarity of the fact that that gentleman owns that easement. That's his. These folks should not be using that for access. They shouldn't be showing that as an access point on their future zone. They don't have any ducks in the road, so therefore I vote to deny the request to rezone this piece of property.
Second.
We got a motion and a second for denial. Any other comments or questions from the committee? Hearing none, we'll call the question. All in favor of the denial?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries unanimously. All right. Item number five is an update regarding the Planning Commission discussion of possible amendments to 155.
The Planning Commission requested that we provide you with a quick update. We brought this to you a couple of months ago. As you know, anybody who wants to appeal or request a variance, rather, anything that is in the zoning code, there's process for that. They go to the Board of Zoning Appeals. Within the land development regulations, there's the only section of land development regulations that can, to which a property owner can ask for a modification, is the blocks and lots. But we've had some situations where we've got some long, skinny pieces of property that are completely surrounded and would like to develop, would like to be able to build a road that it actually exceeds the length of road. Number of dwelling units that the land development regulations allow. And so clearly the question that was initially in front of this committee and the question now that's in front of the Planning Commission is, should the Planning Commission have the authority to at least hear requests for modifications to the land development regulations? And after some discussion, talking through some examples with the Planning Commission, they did feel that there at least should be a process. Doesn't, of course, mean they would approve it, just like Board of Zoning Appeals may not approve the variance request. But they do feel like there should be a process in place, limited in scope, that certainly nobody could ask for modifications to, for example, our construction standards on our streets. But in very unique circumstances, perhaps, if it's a long, skinny piece of property and they have no way to interconnect with other neighborhoods, then they at least could put forth a request to modify or get a variance, so to speak, from the land development regulations. So they have directed staff to draft some language that they will in turn review and that will ultimately make its way back to the Planning Committee. But they've at least answered the initial threshold question is, should there be the ability to allow for modifications to land development regulations? And their answer is yes, in limited fashion.
And they're going to come up with policies and procedures for how that might go forward or what that would look like and what the scope would be.
They've tasked planning and legal staff to come up with some language that we'll probably present to them in December for their consideration. And then it would ultimately make its way back through committee and council.
Right. Good with that. Understand that. Get that.
Yep.
All right.
I have one question for you.
Is it part number five or?
The one we just voted on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I forgot.
We'll open this up for any general comments from the committee. Are those who would like to make a comment? Anything else to come before this body?
Just for a little favor, please. That last one, the item on the rezone that we just voted to deny?
Yes, sir.
It snuck up on me today. I really thought after our last council meeting it would be a while because I thought it would be a civil issue and drawn out. I spoke to a nice gentleman. His first name was John, lived across the street, and he spoke at the council meeting. And I told him that we would let him know when this would come back up again.
Okay.
Came back up today. If we can get to him before council meeting,
Okay.
Greatly appreciate that. I don't have his contact info.
We'll see what we can find.
He spoke at the council meeting, has a nice house across the street.
Yeah, there was someone who submitted a petition.
Yeah.
The mobile minister.
We can reach out to him, I appreciate it. Yeah, that gentleman. Because if we don't get a hold of him, we vote on him, he'll come find him.
All right, anything else to come before this committee? Hearing none, we stand adjourned.